If you could ask for anything in the world and receive it, what would it be? We used to play this game a lot when we were kids. We'd ask one another, if you found a genie in a bottle and that genie was going to grant you three wishes, what three things would you wish for? And of course, some of the first things that we think of are more material things like money or cars or boats, private jets, large houses. Maybe a nice job. But then maybe we'd ask for other things: power, influence, revenge, love, health, safety. There are a lot of things that we might ask for because there are a lot of different things that we want. And the reason that we want all of these things is because we think they'll make us happy. Because ultimately, that's what we really want. We want happiness. And so we want to fill our life with things that will lead us to happiness. So maybe instead of asking, what would you ask for, maybe instead we should ask, what makes you happy? Where do you go for happiness? Where do you go to look for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for freedom? Solomon is put in this situation in today's first reading. He has just ascended the throne of his father David, and the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, what do you want? Ask for anything, and I will give it to you. And Solomon's answer might be surprising to us at first. He doesn't ask for health or wealth or revenge or glory or fame, but he asks for an understanding heart. This is Solomon's famous request for wisdom. And we often think of wisdom as something to do with the mind. It's being able to think, to rationalize, to make good judgments and good decisions, to know the truth of things. These are all things that we associate with the mind. But look how Solomon phrases his request. He doesn't ask for an understanding mind, but for an understanding heart. It's a very interesting word choice, and I think it's worth taking a closer look at. Because you see, in the ancient world, the heart wasn't seen in the same way that we see it today. Today, we often associate the heart with feelings, with emotions. But to the ancient Hebrews, the heart was viewed much differently. The Catechism of the Catholic Church puts it this way. It says, the heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to the Semitic or biblical expression, the heart is the place to which I withdraw. The heart is our hidden center, beyond the grasp of our reason or of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It is the place of truth, where we choose life or death. It is the place of encounter, because as images of God, we live in relation. It is the place of covenant. So when Solomon asks for an understanding heart, he's not just asking for wisdom as we may commonly think of it. So he's not asking just for the ability to make good decisions or to be a good leader. What he's really asking for is for his heart, which is the central part of who he is. He's asking for that to be conformed to the truth of God. He's asking for God to dwell at the very core of his being, because he knows that his only fulfillment in life, his greatest happiness, is going to be found not in health or wealth or honor or glory, but in God. And so I ask you again, where do you go to look for happiness, for fulfillment, for satisfaction? And what are you willing to do to find it? Jesus in the gospel today compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure that is buried in a field. And when a person finds it, they sell everything that they have and they buy that field. So imagine for a moment that you know that person that Jesus is talking about. Imagine if tomorrow your neighbor or your relative or your friend suddenly sells everything. Their house, their car, their TV, all their possessions. They sell everything and they use the money to buy an empty field. I think most of us would say that that person has lost their mind. I think we might try to talk them out of it. We might try to tell them that they made a bad deal, that this was not a wise choice, that they need to try to get their money and all of their possessions back. Unless they know something that you don't. Unless they know that that field contains a buried treasure that is worth more than anything else that they've ever owned. Unless they know that they're actually gaining something that is going to give them way more satisfaction and fulfillment than anything else that the world could ever give them. That treasure is the love of God. It's a life in close relationship with God, and it's available to every single one of us. But we have to be willing to set our hearts not on the things of this world, but on the things of God. St. Augustine once famously said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Wealth, power, influence, fame, these aren't bad things. They can be very good things. But ultimately, they don't have the ability to satisfy our deepest desires, to give us that true satisfaction and happiness that our hearts are really longing for. This is what Solomon understood, and this is what the Lord wants all of us to understand today, that only in God can our deepest desires be fulfilled, can our hearts truly be at rest, and that it's worth selling everything. That is, it's worth giving up all of our desires for fame and fortune and everything else in order to find that hidden treasure, that pearl of great price, which is a life of the love of God.